Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the triumphant King. Amen. You may be seated. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. 70 years of exile for the people of Judah in Babylon had expired. The rebuilding of Jerusalem, the city, and its temple had been well underway. Zechariah, the prophet, had seen the coming of Israel's king into the holy city of Jerusalem once more, on the back of a donkey. Nearing his death, the patriarch Jacob pronounced blessings and prophecies upon his 12 sons. To Judah, the very distant forefather of the Christ, Jacob announced him the seat of the lasting throne of God's people, including a mention of a donkey's colt being attached to the choice vine. What would you do if you received a promise from God directly? And you knew without any doubt whatsoever that God had made the promise to you. You would believe it, right? Would you ever forget that promise? When times and situations in life went south for you, would that promise help to bring you through? Well, it most certainly should. The promise of God, for God's word is sure, without a doubt. If he makes a promise, he will keep it. Even if everything else fell apart around you, God's word remains true. If you sin, God forgives you. When you die, he will raise you up. When you doubt, he strengthens your grip upon Christ. These down moments of life do not undo the promise of God. And God's promises never become null and void. But what kind of a person enters into a great city on the back of a donkey? That would certainly draw a lot of attention, a lot of onlookers to the scene. And no army accompanying him, no weapon or armor in sight. He appeared to be an average, ordinary man. But for those paying attention to the past few years in that time in Israel, they would know that this man was not very ordinary at all. He was the one who had been teaching with authority, unlike their scribes and their rabbis of their fellow Jewish people. This man, Jesus, dispelled demons from those that they possessed with the mere command of his voice, the demonic realm having to obey this man. He healed their sick, multitudes of them, by touching their diseased bodies. He defiantly debated the scribes and Pharisees who publicly sought to discredit him, to throw garbage on his name. He enabled thousands upon thousands to feed on food that should have only been enough for two or three. This is the kind of man who would enter into a great city on the back of a donkey. No weapons, no armor, no army, utterly defenseless. Entering into his own city, his residency as a conquering king, coming back from battle would. One who has no fear of any foe. No worry that one of his own or any of his own would ever attack or betray him. A king, ready to ascend to his royal throne to reign forever and ever. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, the crowds cried out. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. No ordinary man would ever deserve such praise. Only the man they thought to be the Messiah, the Mashiach Yahweh, the Christ himself. They would only give such godly praise to the one they believed to fulfill those prophecies of Zechariah and of Jacob. The one they believed to usher in a new covenant, as the prophet Jeremiah had foreseen, the very forgiveness of all their sins. Yet not everyone was so enamored with Jesus. The Pharisees were the well-trained laymen, the dedicated ones of the Jewish people. They knew the word of the law and of the prophets inside and out, just as well as any high priest. They implored Jesus at this scene to silence his disciples, for giving him the titles reserved only for God's Holy One. These Pharisees believed that no man should accept such praise. Only the true Messiah of God could. They did not believe Jesus was him in the slightest. And if Jesus did not silence his disciples and the crowd surrounding them, the Pharisees would be further convinced of his identity as a blasphemer, a heretic to the Jews. Yet Jesus responds with great profundity, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Not to be quickly forgotten, these words reveal the very nature of truth. Whatever is true will not remain hidden. A lack of profession of that truth does not cause a truth to cease. If Jesus' disciples did not speak the truth, therefore the stones themselves would cry out. This scene, Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem, is truly one of triumph. The cries of the Messiah, given up. The king riding in on the back of a donkey. Cloaks of men and women thrown upon the ground before him to mark his way. This coming of the Christ into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week, that first Palm Sunday, it sets the tone for this whole season of Advent. Every coming of Christ is truly one of victory, some more subtle than others, such as the birth of Jesus. Very few people were made aware of the Christ's first coming into this world. Angels announced this news to the shepherds out in the fields nearby, who made haste to see the newborn king and shared the word with all that they met. Months later, magi from the east found this baby Jesus, the boy Jesus then, and fell down and worshipped him. But apart from them, the scene of Jesus' entry into this world was relatively quiet. Jesus entered into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, quite a different note. with great pomp and circumstance. Yet his prior entries into the holy city of Jerusalem for the regular festivals and celebrations of the Jews went a bit more unnoticed. Fulfilling the words of his own institution for his own supper, Christ Jesus comes to us in his body and blood, in the bread and wine of that sacred meal. While it is celebrated quite often amongst the church, it remains invisible to the eyes of flesh, only visible to the eyes of faith. In a similar way, Jesus comes through the preaching, the teaching of his word, the gospel. The absence of great flair or of the fluttering feeling inside do not negate the very presence of Christ and his word. He continues to make himself known, to reveal himself to us in this world in rather humble ways. Jesus coming, his advent on the last day, will be more similar to his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He will be joined by all of the angels in heaven and all the saints who have gone before us in the faith. And at the sound of the archangel's trumpet, Christ will descend to earth, much like he had ascended into heaven, this time, for all the world to see. Christ's entry into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday did not end with that donkey ride. He did not ascend to his throne until he was nailed to the cross for all the world to see. There Jesus paid the price for all sin. There he conquered the power of sin and death and the devil in his own suffering and his own death upon the cross. Christ, him crucified, marks the work of salvation, never to be undone. It is remembered by all those who bear the sign of the cross upon them given in baptism, and remembered by all every time you and I see the very sign of the cross. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross, for us and for our salvation, that has won the eternal victory over sin. Eternal, everlasting. That is the true triumph of the Christ, as would be seen in his resurrection from the dead. Israel of old was promised that their king would come and he would rule forever. God kept that promise in Jesus Christ. The Israel of new is promised that their king will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, to reign forevermore in great glory. You are the Israel of new, and Jesus is your king. You are on the winning side. For all eternity, you stand with Jesus, and he stands with you. That is God's promise to you. It is true. It cannot be broken, and it will be done. As in heaven, so also on earth, when Christ advents again in glory. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.